We live in troubled times. If you're searching for how to find peace in your life, this book will help you find the answer. In Our Eyes Are on You, Dr. Bob Sauvel, founding and senior pastor of Passion Church in Tucson, Arizona, shows how unshakable faith can make the impossible happen. Our Eyes Are on You will provide you with principles on how to strengthen your Christian faith. Without a deep and trusting relationship with God, prayer cannot be effective. Pastor Bob explores how to talk to God and get answers by first seeking a deeper relationship with Him. This guide for new and experienced Christian delves in the Bible's teachings about spiritual growth that fuels world-changing prayer. Discover more at bobsauvelle.com. That's Bob, S-A-W-V-E-L-L-E.com. /our-eyes-r-on-you.
Welcome to the Family Matters series on Charisma News. I'm Marty Pieper, and I'm excited today to introduce my guest, Sally Clarkson, author of the soon-to-be-released book, A Waking Wonder, along with more than 20 other titles. Welcome to the show, Sally.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so honored to be with you today.
Well, we are excited to have you, and I really enjoyed reading your book. And just even looking at the cover, I'm not an artist type person who can do art, but I am a lover of art. And just whoever did your publisher, I guess, just kudos to them, because they did an amazing job on a cover that really does evoke what your book talks about. So.
Oh, thank you. Well, I actually had an artist friend. And I asked my publisher if they would let him do a rendering of what I had in my mind. And they were very gracious to let him paint a painting. I actually have the painting in my library.
I love that. And that's perfect that's just a perfect fit for the book. I can picture the having had some dealings with publishers and books myself. I can kind of feel the publisher cringing when the author offers to send in a concept. So that's awesome that they were willing to do that.
Yeah.
And obviously it's beautiful. Well, anyway, we're not actually here to talk about the art. One of the things that I especially loved was your opening story. I'm a story person, I guess, as a word person. And it pictures a scene from your own backyard with your family. And it also really sets up the whole concept of a waking wonder. I know you can't tell us the whole story right now, but would you be able to share just a little bit about that, please?
I will. We have moved 19 times, 7 times internationally, so we've had lots of different homes over the years. But at that particular point in the story, we were living in Colorado, and our house backed up to about 20,000 national park or national forest acres.
Ooh.
And we lived up at the top of a hill, and we had this deck that was the length of our house. And it was just, as I walked into this particular night, I looked out and I thought, oh my goodness, I haven't seen this clear of sky. It's so beautiful. And I just thought, we need to take hold of this moment. And to make a long story short, we threw sleeping bags out on the deck, much easier than camping. And we all just had this wonderful evening of sleeping out under the stars. And we saw shooting stars. And it was just absolutely gorgeous with a little bit of pine trees blowing in the background. And as I was there with my young boys who were poking each other, and my little girl, who was 4 years old at the time, and a teenager who was very sensitively brooding over the vastness of everything, and my husband and I, we just were all captured in the moment of this incredible, infinite sky with thousands and thousands of stars. And it wasn't a moment in which I had to say, now everybody pay attention, or this is what I want you to learn. But I trusted that within each personality and each heart was the ability for them to enter into the beauty of the night and to capture for themselves an amazement at the Creator God as they were exposed to such beautiful, infinite kind of a majesty sort of a setting for us that night.
It's such a great picture. And I know, I don't know why that is. I've lived at high altitude myself. There's something about just those few thousand feet, which really in the grand scheme is not, it couldn't make that much difference, but somehow you feel so close when you're just a few thousand feet up from where you, at least I do.
Well, I think we're 7,200 feet above sea level, but also the house is the last house at the top of a hill that was on a dirt road. In other words, we were very separated from the lights of the city. We had no lights around us, only the stars. And so I think that kind of creates or enhances the sense that you are right there amongst them. So it was just lovely. And of course, we did it several more times before we ended up moving to another house. But it was a grand memory for us all.
I know it was. Now, I would love for you to explain a little bit. Now, that was physical wonder. And I noticed, I remember that because I have children. I have five children whom I homeschooled in different ages. And so some similar things. I love the way that you showed how each of them responded. But what I'm thinking about, Sally, is back in my day when they were young, I wasn't always thinking about a waking wonder. I was trying to survive. So what do you say to the parent in that situation? And of course, today we have COVID-19 and maybe some people who are home with their children who aren't used to that. How does this concept apply to someone like that?
I wish I could just, of course, have everybody over for a cup of tea and we could talk about it, but I wish I could.
I know there's no fast answer. I'm sorry for doing that to you.
No. I wish I could help people understand if they could take a step back from what the voices are in their head. I think we have this reductive picture that education is, you have to cover every fact and it's kind of this magical, mysterious formula and you have to read every single thing and you have to do it at the right age. And when I entered the whole arena of home education, I kind of threw out all of my preconceptions of what schooling had been for me. And I said, who is a child? What is a child? What is an education? And I think that we need to understand that home has been enough for thousands of years to create genius and to capture the imagination of children. And every child has a unique personality, a unique imprint of the fingerprint of God on their lives. And so once we step back and say, I want to create an environment where this child who is created with a capacity to learn, to think, to engage, to be excited, I want to create an environment where they will be excited to learn and grow and ask questions and enter into great ideas and great stories. And so the education of our children, and at this point, I am turning 67 this month. And
happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I have four adult children, and they are all flourishing, and they're all writers, and they're all engaged in kind of great purposeful ministries. And people are always saying to me, how did that happen? And I think that as I look back, of course, it's just the faithfulness of God. But we really tried to pass on to our children an imagination in their own life of you have capacity, you have a personality, you have a story to tell. I wonder how God is going to use you to change your world. And so when we approached our children, it wasn't age graded or we have to fill in all these forms. It was, how can we pass on a wonder, an imagination for the fact that you were created to be good, moral, pure, strong, lovely, impactful in your world? How can we give you a foundation of that? And how can we engage you in the process of shaping your own education as we provide great resources and mentoring and discipleship for you? So I think I would love to say to parents that you are exactly the parent they need. If you have a passion for life and for God, the more you create that passion in yourself, the more you are growing in integrity, the more you care about other people, your soul is going to be what others are going to draw from, what your children are going to draw from. And it's not a formula. It's a way of seeing the world from the point of view of how did God create us to be, respond, and grow. Hope that is kind of a generalization that makes some sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense to me. I kept wondering while I was reading, because I did a lot of reading before and during my homeschool years, and I know you're not just speaking to homeschoolers at all, as you just mentioned. You're really speaking to every parent. But are you familiar with the book The Hidden Art of Homemaking by Edith Schaefer?
Oh, sure, yeah.
It reminded me so much. It's an older book, but it reminded me so much of some of the concepts that she shares of seeing what you do in your family as art.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, your own path, as we said, you and your husband chose homeschooling and created a world for your children where they were able to, it seems like flourish, I guess would be a great word. But you, just as you just shared, you also say elsewhere in your book, every parent is a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So would you explain that just a little bit more?
I think that every baby comes into the world looking to their parent to help shape their values, their understanding of what relationships work like, to parents to speak to their children and kiss them and hug them and love them, and which actually creates more intelligence, science tells us.
Amen.
And so all parents are teachers. All parents will shape the way their children think about the world. They will shape the way their children think about marriage or family or politics or whatever. And so if we understand that regardless of what kind of formal education your children will have, we are those people to whom our children look for learning, for education in so many different areas. And so if you understand that, then you're going to be much more intentional about it and realizing that what we do, especially in the first 4 years of our children's lives, will to a great degree predispose them, prepare them for what they will believe and accept the rest of their lives. And so that kind of makes the parent's job and the parent's role in the lives of their children so very important.
Yes. And I think that's something that I think parents, in a way, this year, this unusual year with the pandemic and kids coming home from various school settings, I think that God could use that to show parents more about how they can and how they do impact their children. I can see that as a positive because it isn't just, it's so easy for us to have the idea that, well, that's school's job.
And right, those are the experts' jobs. Instead of realizing that how we shape our children within the environment of our home determines to a great degree of how they will develop in all the other areas of their lives.
Very much so. Now, I'm relating to this as a homeschool mom of 21 years, but I remember, especially as my children got older, younger women coming to me and asking me various questions and wanting a 1-2-3 answer.
Right, right.
And what I ended up telling them was, it was a lot more about who I was as a believer in Christ, just living my authentic life, than about any, even though I had things that I did and curriculum that I liked and books that we read. But I found really similar words in your book, that same idea. Would you share a little bit, not the Marty version, but the Sally version, about what you believe are the essentials when it comes to creating or evoking that sense of wonder in your child?
Right. I think that, again, I'm kind of coming at this. We've written another book on education that's about 375 pages. It gives a lot more specific ideas.
Sure.
Called Educating a Wholehearted Child. But as I look back, I've met so many children become adults who have lost their faith, who've lost their way. And as we look in this world, it's very difficult right now. This is a season of time in which there's a lot of darkness, a lot of anxiety, a lot of challenges. And so what we want to do is to understand that the most important thing we bring to the table are two things. One is we need to be the person that we hope that they will grow into, in the sense that Jesus said that the student will become like his master. Mm-hmm. And so if we want our children to have integrity, we need to seek integrity. If we want our children to be readers of the Word of God, then they need to see us doing it. If we want our children to engage with compassion for other people, then we need to be having hospitality in our home or being involved in reaching out to others that they can learn, oh, I have love I can give. I have generosity I can share. And so the first and most important curriculum is the parent's heart. Whatever a parent stores up, whatever a parent practices, whatever a parent cares about is basically very important to what the child is going to grow to care about. And so people are always saying, which books are the right ones? And I say, there isn't one right book. There are many books with many great ideas, but you are the treasure chest from which your children are going to draw. So if you grow and if you become more holy, more excellent, more, our children look to us to bring peace in our home, to bring faith into our home, to bring that we're growing mentally. And then the second thing I would say is that I really believe that if we understand how important our influence is, that unconditional love and acceptance for each child opens their heart to being willing to learn from us. And what I mean by that is I think sometimes in our public school systems or even Christian school systems, because we have to organize children 30 in a classroom or whatever, in order to have order, sometimes what we might miss is that every child has a different personality, a different DNA, different fingerprints. And as a teacher of our children, as parents, we can say, what motivates this child? What drives their imagination? What are they good at? What are they not good at? How can I enhance the development of my child because I care about them more than anybody else ever will? And so it gives us a sort of freedom instead of comparing them to everybody else in the world by some artificial grades or test, we can look at our children and say, oh my goodness, you were made to be a musician or you were so athletic. Maybe you will coach a bunch of children in the soccer team and really have an impact in their lives. Whatever it is in our homes, we can give our children such acceptance for who they are with their warts and all, and say, I believe that exactly who you are is the person that God is going to use to change your world. And when parents take on that very intentional relationship with their children, they realize that comparison to everyone else in the world was not a part of God's design, then we can really focus on and free our children to grow into their strengths, to feel good about who they are, and to capture an imagination of how they uniquely might have a place to fill in God's mega story, so to speak.
That is such a powerful message. Now, we've been talking a lot about parents, understandably so, but do you have a particular word for grandparents, especially in this era?
I love that you asked that because I'm a new grandparent. I'm a grandparent of two little ones, 2 years old and 6 months old.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I just, it's so much fun for me to see my daughter turning into me. I think they've heard so many messages over the years of, you establish a foundation of love and acceptance from the moment they come into the world. You speak to them and talk with them and ask them questions and affirm them. You touch them and tickle them and love them. So when I am able to be with my children, I'm just an extension to my grandchildren. I'm an extension to them of what we practiced in our home, that they would say, oh my goodness, not only do mommy and daddy act to me in this way, but grandma does and granddad does and the cousins do. And we have this corpus of a community that love one another, that hold up the Word of God together. That I feel like it's so important for grandparents to also gain a vision for the love, the impact, the faith, the just the real direction they can give by pouring in personally to their grandchildren.
That's so beautiful. I guess you would say I'm a new grandma. Our little grandson is 2.5. And so one of the things, no, everyone told me being a grandmother would be wonderful, but no one told me how wonderful it is, and it's exactly what you said, how wonderful it is to see your child be a parent. Mm-hmm. So that's I guess when I asked that question, I was wanting to hear for myself as well as for our listeners. But mm-hmm. I love the idea of seeing grandparenting as, I mean, it's an extension. It's enlarging your family. And if your vision is shared with your children, then it will just keep going from there. So that's a beautiful picture. Now, on the flip side of that, when, because we're painting this wonderful picture, and yet we know sin exists and things aren't always wonderful. And obviously, as you said, this year has shown us that. When parents come up, as I'm sure they do, and share, or grandparents or whomever, come up and share their struggles with you, What words do you have for them, Sally?
Well, I think that, you know, I was so immature and I was so untrained and so unknowledgeable when I had my first child and second, third, and fourth, that I kept thinking, I just need to have one more child so I can do it right.
My oldest daughter says she and her next sister were my practice kids. So she's not wrong.
I told all my children I would pay for them to go to counseling. myself. But I think that we need to really extend grace to ourselves and to our children. We are a work in progress. No one had ever told me how to do what I did. I had never changed a diaper. But because I was older when I became a mom, I was almost 31, I was so surprised at how I fell in love with my little girl. And and so there's a verse in scripture that says, love covers a multitude of sin.
Yeah.
And I feel like God used a lot of my love to cover over a lot of the mistakes I made. The other thing is, all four of our children have very different personalities. And some are easier on me than others. But all four of them have me to death. Yeah. And so I think that I would say, you know, God really works with a heart. When we have a heart to grow and to learn, that's what God is going to take. It says he searches to and fro through the whole earth to strongly support those whose heart is completely his.
Yeah.
And I feel like, did I make a lot of mistakes? Do I wish I had never been impatient? Of course I do. But there is a lot of grace. I think that when our children know that we are for them, you know, we see in scripture that God is for us. He went to such an extent to save us, to love us. When he was alive, it says Jesus was the exact representation of God. He showed us servant leadership. He held children. He gave grace to prostitutes and invited tax collectors to dine with him. And so Jesus has grace for us and for our children. And
mm-hmm.
I would just say, a day at a time, put all of your issues in the file drawer of heaven and leave them in God's able hands. And know that some kids, we're just going to have to really pray, God, by faith, I'm going to love them. By faith, I'm going to help this mysterious child. I have a real out-of-the-box child who had lots of different issues. And I feel like God really used that son. And we wrote a book called Different, the story of the out-of-the-box boy and the mom who loved him. But I feel like God used him specifically in my life to teach me what it looked like to look at life differently and to see the potential in my child who didn't always conform to the normal standards. And as I look back, I just wish I had relaxed more, not worried as much, and lived into each day, trying to grow, trying to do what I needed to do, but not worrying or carrying fear or carrying guilt into any part of the day, because that was just a waste of time.
Exactly. And I think that's a good word, no matter where we are in our lives, right? So
right.
we do need to offer all of those moments to God and trust trust His grace, which sounds so simple, but we seem to forget it a lot, or at least I do.
It's a habit we have to practice over and over again.
Very much so. Well, Sally, I'm so grateful for your wisdom and especially for your heart. There's one more thing I would love to have you do for our listeners, and that would you take time to pray for them right now?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for each of these precious ones who are listening to this podcast. Help them to know how very important and formative they are in passing on a legacy to their children of who you are, how you love, how you would have us live in this world. Lord, bear the burdens of these precious ones who maybe feel like they failed or who feel like the task is too much. Help them to know that they are never alone, that you will walk with them and give them strength and wisdom for their task. And Lord, I pray that you'll renew your heart and excitement for spending the time, taking the time to personally love and inspire and build into their children, which is probably one of the best legacies, the longest lasting legacies they will ever have in their whole life. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sally, I want to thank you again for just your words of wisdom and your beautiful book and your heart.
Yeah, thank you for this interview. I enjoyed talking with you so much.
Well, that's so great. Listeners, we appreciate you taking the time to find us today. And I want to encourage you to look for more episodes of the Family Matters series on Charisma News.